Praise God. It is a real pleasure being here for the first time. I know Sister Adi has always asked, are you coming to Sterling? And I said, well, not this time, it's all that time. You know, but so we're happy that this time we're able to make it around and to see so many of familiar faces. Let me ask my wife to come, honey, come and lay the brethren and then very, very.
Just to be here, I've heard about selling. And I'm glad that at least my feet have reached here. But many of the places I've seen, one thing or the other, but I'm glad to be on this soil with the fellowship. Thank you for the warm welcome. We're glad, very
well, you're very pleased. I need someone.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
We come from Africa, so we make a lot of noise.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. So, but I'm glad to be here. It's been upon my heart for quite some time. And I think that God makes all things beautiful in His own timing. So there are times and seasons in God, and I believe that our coming here today is timely, you know. And so we're trusting that for each time there is a purpose. So our prayer is that that purpose for this time will unfold at this time. Praise the name of the Lord. We trust that all of us will be part of that channel through which God will, you know, keep unfolding all that is, you know, in His hands. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
God bless you richly. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Shall we pray? Let's open a prayer. Father and our God, we thank you very much for creating this opportunity, for granting us this platform to meet together, to open our hearts, to receive that which you are given. It says, as the handmaidens wait upon the mistress, so Lord, do we lift up our souls, lift up our hearts, and bow our hearts unto you. Lord, that you might touch us, you might bless us, you might cause the very rain of heaven to rain upon us, to water our soul. He says the mountains and the hills, but they are nourished by the rivers of God, by the watering of the Lord. You clothe the mountains. You cause a fruitfulness. And Lord, as we come today, we ask that as we stay under the overshadowing of your mighty Spirit of Christ, that you might, Lord, you might nourish us, you might wet our soul, you might cause that which has been planted to spring up and be fruitful. Lord, let the wilderness become a fruitful field.
Yes.
Let there be streams in the desert. Lord, let that which is dry, let it receive life. Lord, let that which is weak be strengthened. Lord, let there be encouragement, let there be hope, let there be faith. Lord, let there be a moving forward. Let the lame leap, let the blind see. Lord, let the deaf be able to hear. Oh yes, Lord, that you will do something new, that you will touch us one more time. Lord, that we will not be like that lame man that was by the beautiful gate, not able to enter. Lord, we have been by this gate for a long time. We pray you will touch us, O God, that leaping and jumping, we might enter in by ourselves, not be carried in by any man. Lord, we know that there will be the ability to come in into the sanctuary of the Lord. We will come in into your presence. Oh yes. Lord, that we will come in whole. You make us whole. That you will touch us afresh, O God. Bring your wholeness to us. Blessed be your name, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. As we were just praying this morning, there was a scripture that the Lord quickened, which has come in the song, so I knew it's the Lord. Revelation 3 became severally in the songs, so I know the Lord is saying something to us. Revelation chapter 3. The very first verse starts with the concept. It says, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. You know, when you begin to get into the Word of God, like we're going to do this evening, we'll try to, you know, get into the Word. You know, there are certain principles that you see. One of the principles is Jesus said, these people, they come to me, you know, with their hearts, with their lips, but their heart is far away. So it gives you the two levels, you know. So someone is speaking and calling upon the name of the Lord, but his heart is different, you know. And most of what we have seen in the church has been, you know, we've just paid attention to the first dimension, that is the outward man, the, you know, what is going on in the natural, you know. And in a sense, the natural deals with the body, because man has three levels, even like the world is on three dimensions also. So the first dimension is natural, but in another sense, the first dimension speaks of the body, you know, the physical, the natural man, the physical, you know, expression you see. Of course, for you, your physical expression will be Sterling, Illinois, United States. You know, those are, I mean, that's your natural expression. You know, the things you are seeing, the politics, you know, you are dealing with the economy, you know, health issues, you know, all those are just natural things. You know, and many times we think that that is all that there is. You know, but here you see, it says you have a name that you are living. So this is, you can see, just one dimension. Someone has a name that is living, and you know, he could feel he's okay because you have a name that you are living. And you know, for us, many of us have a name. We are living, we are end time sons of God. This, you know, we have different names that we have. So in a way, it's religious. You know, it speaks of the religion, you know. I'm a Christian. It's a name. It's a title. It's an identity. But you see, that's not all that it is with God. You must come to the second dimension. What is the second speaking of? The man is, you know, speaking about God, you know, saying, Lord, Lord, Lord. You know, God is much more interested in the second dimension. Because man looks on the outward. But God, you know, judges according to the second dimension, you know, the inward man, you know. So here, what does the inward man say? I know that what, that thou has a name that thou livest, but what? Are dead. The only way he can have a name that is living means that inwardly, the testimony inward does not agree with the testimony outward. The outward testimony is good, religious, born again, end time, sons of God, man child, all those. But inwardly, it's a different story. You know, inwardly is dead, no life, you know, not approved of God, I cardboard, and all, and so on and so on, you know. So if we can jump, I'd like to jump to verse 14. You know, because verse 1 just gives us a setting. There's verse 14, that's where we were singing in the song. It says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. If you just stop for a moment, I look at that word Laodicea. What is it saying? Laodicea is a compound word. You know, the first three words, you know, Lao or Laos, clearly speaks of the people. You know, from there you have laity, you know, the Nicolaitans, you know, those are the root words. So Laos, people. But how about the first one, Laodicea? This here is taken from a root Greek word, dike, speaking of justice. But I'm likely to take another word, democracy, you know, rule of the people, right, by the people, for the people, people rights, you know. And so now we have LGBT, now it's, they've added something else, LGBTQ, you know. So not just lesbian, not just gay, not just bisexual or transsexual. Now they're even wondering, should we even have any sex? Shouldn't we be sexless? You know, this morning I might become a boy, the following morning I might become a woman, in 1 month I'm female, the next month I may be male. So it doesn't, I just take, I assume any identity I want. So that's where they're going, where there will be no more identity. So that is the height of civil liberty, isn't it? Self liberty. You know, every man does whatever is right in his sight. So that's where we are come. And so this is a message in this time of Laodicea, in the time when self is coming to the full. Is it not 66? You know, the fullness of the rebellious nature of this man that is dead. You know, outwardly he has life, it's, you know, it's powerful, he can go to the moon, do all kinds of things, but inwardly, you know, he's dead, you know, not able to relate to God. But look at verse 15, you know, it says it for us. It says, I know thy works, that thou art what? Neither cold or hot. I would that there were cold or hot. Alright? Because thou says, okay, so then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spit thee out of my mouth. Amen. So he's saying, this is looking at the spiritual condition, he is saying, this generation, you know, the Laodicean church, something characteristic. It was a church that did not have any fire. It was not hot. It was not cold. And if you look at that, you know, like I always say, the very practical way of having an understanding of is to go to the tabernacle. You know, so whatever you read in the scripture, you must bring it to the tabernacle, break it up, and then you can see its flow, you can see what God is speaking, and you can better apply it. You know, so if you look at the tabernacle, there's a place where you have fire. Where do you have that? It has a brazen altar, is it not? Okay, so we will do just that. We will go to the tabernacle. Okay, so we can draw the tabernacle. So that's the first tabernacle. We know the dimensions. The outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. But that's not all the story. There's another tabernacle. Alright, so that would be the tabernacle of the soul with the four realms. Okay, the mind, emotion, the desire, and the wheel. And they meet somewhere in the middle here, and that is the heart. Okay, so this is the tabernacle of man, but it's not ended, because you have something here, and then you have something there. This will be the human spirit. So we'll say human spirit. This will be the body. Okay, so this is the other tabernacle. This is the, of course, you know, this is Moses. And then this will be you. Alright. So that means this is telling us about this. You know, and so he's saying here that in 2017, something's going to happen. The fire will go out. Would that be a good interpretation? Huh? That in 2016, the fire will go out. And then, so we see the altar, and then you see the fire. Amen. So he's saying it's possible for this fire to go out. And when this fire goes out, we get into religion. You know? And this can happen individually. It can also happen corporately, where you have a people in which the fire has died. The fire has died down. I used to have a brother, some of you know him, Imao Debunam. You used to call him man, isn't it? That's what you used to call him. He says, when a church dies, when the fire goes out in the church, it becomes popular. Because they start building schools, start feeding programs, start doing, you might even build universities, you have youth program, youth department, women department. You know, they grow big. But he says, when the fire goes out of a house fellowship, it dies. So if you have a house group, when the fire dies, everybody scatters, goes away, because there's no sweetness anymore. But when you have a church, and the fire dies, it organizes. And it will become more active, more popular. So we are dealing with fire here. So you're saying you are neither lukewarm, neither hot or cold. And because you are not hot or cold, I'm going to speak as you. I can't, you know, it's of no use. You know? So for you and I, we have a choice to make. You know? It's either we're going to be hot, either we're going to have the fire, or you might as well quit trying. Amen. You know, so I thought that is speaking of the brazen laver. Sorry, the brazen altar. You know. Of course, you can translate it here, but let me complete this picture. This picture has something else. There's another aspect of it. We'll come to it lately. But there is another connection here, another one, and then another one. Okay, so this is the Spirit of God. This will be Christ, or the Son of God, and then this will be the Father. But let's in this case, the fire is different. The fire comes from the Father. Through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, and comes the branches. into the realms of the soul and into the heart. So this is a different kind of fire. Amen. So this one was the physical fire, but this one is the spiritual fire, and it's coming right from the Father down. Amen. So in this temple, it is critical that the connection, there are two connections that we are interested in: the Spirit of God relating with your spirit, and then your spirit relating with your soul. There's a link. Alright. When man sins, sin does something. What does sin do? Sin brings a separation, isn't it? So the spirit of man detaches, or actually becomes unresponsive. It doesn't respond. You know, it's no longer receiving the energy. The river stops. You know, there's a block. That nourishment, the flow, you know, doesn't come. Now, if you look at John chapter 7, you know, it establishes the river. We know there is a river. What does he say? That out of the belly of those who believe will flow what?
Rivers of living water.
And he said that river is spirit. So this spirit of what? The spirit. Which they that receive on him should, that believe should receive. So there is a river, there's a river of life. So there are different types of rivers. There's natural river, water, fine. But whatever you see down here is only trying to copy the reality of the river, you understand? Because what is in the spirit, you see, the things that are natural, they are temporary, isn't it? The things we see, they are temporary, isn't it? But the things which we don't see, the spiritual, they are what? They are eternal, they are permanent. Amen. So, we're speaking about this river. We're speaking about the flow and the fire, the watering, you know, the watering of the soul. As we are saying, there is only one thing that can open that river. What is that? It's the blood. When you apply the blood, what happens?
Amen.
The river starts flowing again. Amen. And of course, so you will see that the fire we are talking about, this fire, we can say this fire, you can see it rising from the realms of the soul. Amen. And to prove it to us, on the day of Pentecost, what was it that happened? See, there was fire on each one of them, isn't it? There was physical fire, signifying of this, you know, this reality that is going on within. Now, 1 John 5, verse 6, 7, 8, 9. He says, there are three that bear record in heaven.
Yes.
They say there are three that bear witness on earth. Witness to what? Witness to the life, the oil, the life of Christ, this river, this energy that is coming down. And he says they are what? The spirit, the water, and the blood. Therefore, the spirit, the word, and then the blood. So, when the blood comes, it tells us that the life of the flesh is where? In the blood. So the blood doesn't come barren. You see, you know, the blood doesn't come empty. It comes bringing the life of God, the life of Christ. This, you know, this fire, this energy, it brings it into the soul. All right, now, so from here we can go. You can go here and come back again. Now, when we go up here, what do we see? So we can see the soul of man. Amen. So this will be the mind. This will be the emotion. This will be the desire. And this will be the will. So the soul, the four realms of the soul, must come to the place of the altar, come to the place of judgment. And so when we read a scripture like Revelation 3 telling us that the fire has gone out, you know, we can investigate the scripture, and what can we find? We can see Elijah as an example, is it not? Okay, so that's one story, one situation in which the fire went out, is it not? And when fire goes out, many things go with it. There was famine. Alright, so someone says, I'm sending to you a famine, not of rain, but a famine of what? Hearing the true words of the Lord. Amen. So the fire and the rain or the water go together. Amen. And that's what, those are the things you see in the tabernacle. So the first place of fire, by the way, some people will draw something else here.
Yes.
Okay, so you can draw a cross. It's all happening there. We will come back to this, but we can move one step further, because it's speaking of water. So where else in the tabernacle do you find water? You don't need to go very far. Is that correct? And then, so you have water in there. So the fire goes with the water. Guess what? Elijah, when he built his altar, what did he do to the altar? He brought the stones, you know, 12 stones, and he built the altar. And he put the sacrifice. What did he say? He says, fill it with water. And of course, with the water came, eventually the fire came. So the water goes with the altar. So you see that the experience of the brazen altar, so we'll say this is the altar here, goes with the liver. So the water is there, in the water it says, he that believeth and is saved should be baptized. Okay, so there is the baptism. Now Jesus also says something. He says, the same you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom. Meaning that person is blind. But the blindness is not a physical blindness, isn't it? Yes. He was speaking to Nicodemus. You know, he was not blind. He came walking into him. But he was speaking of this, you know, the second dimension. He was speaking of the inward blindness. Alright? So he says, except you are born again, you cannot what? See the kingdom. So he's speaking about the soul. You are singing the song, open my eyes, Lord, that I may see, isn't it? And when we read in verse 17, he said, because that says, I am rich and increased with goods, I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and what? Blind and naked. So you can see the two dimensions again. Outwardly, rich, increased with goods. Alright? Have need of nothing. Alright? That's prosperity. But inwardly, it's a different economy altogether. Inwardly, what's going on? He says he's wretched, miserable, what's the other one? Poor, and blind, and naked. Amen. So he's speaking of a reality, you know, that we can investigate, you know, and we can relate to ourselves. So he's speaking about the condition of the heart, the condition of the soul, the situation in the church, you know. So we are all coming to fellowship outwardly, but he's saying, let's go inside and begin to investigate what's going on with my heart, what's my heart condition, you know. And he's saying, it's not just enough to say I'm born again. Even that itself, we have to challenge, we have to investigate. You know, because when we talk of being born again, it doesn't really come in properly, because the soul must be judged. The soul must come to judgment. Alright? And not just that, we must come to a place of baptism. But I will come to that later. You know, I want to read the scripture about the blindness, you know, so that we can get it in context. Now, if we look at Luke 11, Luke 11:34. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thy eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. So can I ask you a question? So he's speaking about the body. So can I ask, what is the light of the soul? What is the eye of the soul? Because if the body must have an eye, the soul must see. He's speaking about being blind. Alright? He told Paul, I'm sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes. Is it that all the Gentiles are blind? So he was speaking about the condition of the soul. So what is the eye of the soul? What is it that brings light into the soul? Amen. So it says the light of the body is the eye. Okay, the reason I say, take it therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. So he's calling darkness light. Alright. 36. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. So he's speaking here of, you know, blindness and light. And he's saying, he's speaking of spiritual blindness, the blindness in the soul, you know. So we see Paul praying that the eyes of the understanding may be enlightened. So what is it that brings the fire into the soul? What is it that brings the light? What is it that brings the energy? Because when you use your physical eye, you get light, you get information, you get energy, you get, you know, you get enlightenment into your physical system. So also in the soul, you know, there's a place where the eyes of understanding are opened up. Alright? And that is the experience that we find that we are in need of in the church. And that to me, maybe, I think it explains the coldness. It explains the lukewarmness. Because for lack of vision, my people perish. How can a man walk in what he has not seen? Every man can only walk in what he has seen. If you have not seen the light, cannot walk in it. Amen. So scripture says in Corinthians, you know, Corinthians 2:3, it says, we all with an open face beholding glory are changed. Now naturally, if you want to be changed, you eat food. That natural energy comes into you and you are changed. Spiritually, for you to be changed, you need light to come in. The entrance of the world brings light. And the light that comes into you changes the soul. Amen. Causes a transformation. Hallelujah. So, there is something happening in the church. There is a blindness. And part of it, I'm not going to get into it, it says, my prophets are blind. So who is blind but my servants? You know, it says that unto these prophets that there shall be dimness of vision. The night will be dark unto them. No, not any vision. The Lord, you know. So we are seeing something in which blindness is setting in. And when blindness sets in, one thing is sure. The fire will go out. The fire will go out.
Jesus.
Amen. Lord. The fire goes out. And when the fire goes out, the blind begins to leave the blind. Amen. You know, so we begin to go around in circles. You know, because there is no direction. There is no fire. You know. So here he's saying, the people say they are increased with goods. And that, you go, who can say that? I wouldn't even mention to you in America, you don't have any goods. You are not increased with anything. You know, you don't throw away food. Once again, you see that you don't do. You know, you say the sin of Sodom was what? Fullness of bread. Idleness. I want to
wine.
I'm fine. You know, that is a recipe for fire going out. Amen. That's a recipe for fire going out. You know, dying. So the temple is there, the altar is there, the fire on it. Hallelujah. So the man is singing in church, he's shouting, he's dancing, he's doing everywhere, doing all kinds of things. He has a name, he's alive. There's no fire inside. Hallelujah. But you see, every circumstance that, you know, we are shown that the open, that is opened up to us, it gives us the solution. Alright? So he tells us that if we repent, he says it there. If you repent, can I read it? Let's look at, let's go, that's Revelation 3. Okay, look at it there. Verse 18. I counseled thee to what? Buy of me gold tried in the fire. That means be rich. And white raiment, that means be clothed. And that the shame of thy nakedness will not appear. And I have anointed thine eyes with what? Eye salve. That thou mayest see. Amen. Look at the verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and he will sup with me. I hope we can get there. Amen. There is a supping. Maybe I should go there quickly so that I don't forget. There is a, for a long time, we have populated the outer court. Our experience has been in the outer court. So Jesus says he's the door, isn't it? He is the door. So if I open to the door opens to me. That's the spiritual law. If I open the door, then Christ, who is the door, opens and brings us in. Hallelujah. So it's a two-way door. So it says, I stand at the door. Nobody can go into the sheepfold. This is the sheepfold. The holy place, the most holy place is the sheepfold. Amen. This is, okay, someone says so, okay? This is what? The bedchamber. So this is the place for union. This is the place for change and feeding. And that change comes by feeding on Christ. And the person that feeds on the Christ is the soul. So this is the place for the change of the soul, if in the holy place. So the soul is changed in the holy place, that you might be joined with Christ in the bedchamber. Amen. So it says, I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, I will bring you in, and I'll sup with you. And that is the place, you call it the marriage feast, isn't it? Now, the Hebrew culture is different from our own. Our own culture is when you get married that you have the feast. Alright? But for God, it's the right way around. You have the feast first, then the marriage. Because the feast is what changes the soul, to make the soul fit to be united with Christ. Amen. Say amen. Hallelujah. So, there's very little activity here, because the fire is gone out and we're not making much progress. Amen. So, there should be activity in this place, and then activity here. This is Mount Zion. Moses was in Mount Sinai, but you have come to Mount Zion. Amen. And this Mount Zion is the experience of the soul. It's the soul that comes to Mount Zion. Here the soul is fed and enriched. Hallelujah. So we see that the soul must be fed for it to come to the place of marriage, isn't it? Huh? For it to come to this incense, the incense altar. And to cross in. Amen. Now, this is far dying away. The holy place experience and the most holy place experience is fast dying away amongst us. Do you know why? Because the fire has died. Vision is receding. And increasingly, we see that we are spending our time in the outer court. We are not coming in to the place of nourishment of Christ. Amen. Now, so let me look at a few specific scriptures. We'll still come back, just so that we can get a context. Let's look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel 43 and 44. Because I told you, when we look at this tabernacle of man, the critical point is the witness of the Spirit of God with my spirit, and with my spirit with my soul. Amen. And we are interested in the connection. And I might as well just add that connection is between the mind and the spirit of man. You see, there is a bond between the Spirit of God walking in my spirit, and then my spirit with the spiritual part of my mind. Amen. Hallelujah. Most of the time we are aware of the natural mind. Amen. And my natural mind is Nigerian. Your own natural mind is what now? America, isn't it? Yes. But that's really nothing compared to your real mind. The real mind is spirit. It's full spirit. Amen. And you know, when you sleep, that's when you know your real mind comes alive. Hallelujah. But what light does it have? What energy? Oh dear. What light or what energy does it have? So that's what we want to look at. So let's read the scripture to get the context. So see, let's examine to see if we are right. Remember, when you're looking at Ezekiel, Ezekiel is a book about the temple. It's about you. It's about the human temple. That's Ezekiel. Now, in the early part of Ezekiel, it says that the glory of the Lord, the cherubims, they departed from the temple. Is it not? If you recall around Ezekiel 10:11, it says the cherubims began to ascend and depart from the temple. So the glory of God, went away. But that's not all the story. Because that's the bad, well, that's one side of the story. But there is the other side, which is what we want to read, the good part, or the positive part. Verse 1 of Ezekiel 43. It says, afterward, he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looked toward the east. So we have to stop, and let's come to our chart finder. This is our pathfinder, what gives us. Now, when we look here, we can see the east. Is that right? This is the east. Moses camped on the east with the other Levites, and then if you, so this from the east you approach the temple, isn't it? So in this temple, where would the east be then? We know where the east is, in the natural temple. The sun arises from the east. So the sun of righteousness will arise with what? Healing. Alright, so the sun arises. Okay, so the heat, the energy, the light, the glory comes. We know it comes from the mind. The mind will therefore represent the east. So when we look here, we can see where the east is. That this east must be somewhere here. In the region between my mind and the Spirit of God. That's the east. Amen. So the glory of God comes into this tabernacle. You know, so you come in. Alright. And we are seeing the flow from the Father through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, into the soul, and then lastly. So this is the order of resurrection.
Yes.
So when you come to the brazen altar, it says the height of the brazen altar is what? 3. The height is 3. So it's a prophecy of hope. You know, as God brings judgment upon the soul, he's giving the soul hope that I'm going to bring you back into that place of union with God, into that place of communion with God, where Adam walked, where the first Adam walked, the last Adam is coming there. Amen. Now, when we talk of Adam, you know, when we were singing the song, it came in the song, you know, Jesus was the 41st generation. So in other words, the 41st generation was the head. Jesus is not the head. Is it not?
Yes.
So what would the 42nd generation be there for? No. You see, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So it should give us an idea. So if the 41st is the head, then the 42nd must be the head in the body. Amen. Exactly. But the matter is not, the body is not of its own. It is the glory of the head in the body that brings the glory of the 42nd generation to you. Amen. Hallelujah. So the body cannot be removed from the head. In other words, the experience of the head, the glory of the head, was expressed in us. And that is what this thing is speaking about. You know, he's saying there is something that is there is something that God is saying now to us, which was different from what we were hearing a few years ago. What is God saying? The glory is coming back to the temple. The glory is coming back to the temple. Not just that, he's telling us how the glory is coming back. So we know the glory is coming. We know the glory is coming now. And we know how it is going to come. Therefore, I can prepare. Therefore, I can position myself to be a participator. I mean, to experience the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. Hallelujah. Because there is something that must force, that must put pressure on you and me, and it's called tribulation.
Yes.
Tribulation is coming on the earth. God has no solution for earth. The only place where you have life is spirit. Amen. So, as we see tribulation on the earth, then we know there is rest in the Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. I see tribulation in the body, in the natural, then it tells me that there is a place of rest. And that place of rest is in the realm of the Spirit. Amen. And the Bible tells us how to come into the Spirit. This is one sure way of entering the Spirit, in the Bible. Because it says the words that are given to you, they are what? Yeah,
spirit.
And they are life. Life to who? To the mind. Amen. So there are two things that work together: the lampstand and the shipbread. They work together. The word and the spirit, they work together. All right. So where you have the word, the spirit will follow, because the word is the sword of the Spirit. Amen. So the Spirit gives light to the Word, and the Word gives energy to walk in the Spirit. So the two, they work together. So this Word is not just the letter of the Word, it is the Spirit of the Word. Okay, that is broken for the inward man. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. Who is the man? This man. Amen. The energy for this man is not from bread alone. We are specialized on the bread, you know. We know, we study all the things, the natural. Commonly now, everyone is coming into complementary, you know, non-orthodox medicine. You know, we are looking at natural, you know, food items, organic food, and so on. That's very good. But man doesn't live by it. In other words, the energy for the body doesn't only come from physical food. The energy for the body comes from heaven. Hallelujah. Can you try that? Say, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, as thy soul brings life from the heaven and applies it to the body. That what it means, even as thy soul prospers. It is the energy from the soul that gives life to the body. That is the way God made the body to be. And he called it divine health. Amen. It's called a divine health. So I have a headache. I can take Tylenol. Is that what you guys take? Tylenol? Okay, and the headache goes. Amen. That's good. But there is a higher way. spiritual tiny lung. Amen. Where I open my mind and energy from heaven gives strength to my body. Hallelujah. And you know, God is telling us right now that we can enter into it now.
Amen.
You don't believe? Do you believe?
Amen.
Do you want to?
I know.
Oh, we are still stuck with tiny love. Amen. Are we ready to make the transition?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, the river has to start running little by, you know, it begins to flow. It says it flows like a river, isn't it? Before it shall come like the rain. Okay, we have not even come to the rain yet, but okay, let's go there. You know, he told Elijah, he told the Israelites, there is going to be the sound of the abundance of rain. Hallelujah. You can't talk of abundance of rain when the altar is not set. Because he set the altar, he had the sacrifice, he could talk about the sound of the abundance of rain. Amen. So the rain speaks of the later rain, the former rain, isn't it? Hallelujah. It speaks of the watering, this river. That's the later rain that's coming. Now, the later rain is the rain of the harvest. Speaking of another experience, not Pentecost, they call it tabernacles.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And tabernacle is the story of the soul. The soul prepared, ready to be united. Because Christ is coming home, don't you understand? To rest in his dwelling place. Hallelujah. There has to be a rain that will bring that. But before that, before you start talking of that, the altar must be well set. Hallelujah. The altar must be repaired. Let's read that, then we will. Let me finish that. Ezekiel. It's an important connection. I don't want us to miss it. Ezekiel 43 and Ezekiel 44. Okay. After all, he brought me to the gate, even to the gate that looketh toward the east. And so we say it's the mind. The east is the mind.
Yes.
Amen. So the east is the eye of the soul. As the physical body is the eye of the body. Amen. So, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from where? From the way of the east. And his voice was like a noise of many waters. And guess what? And the earth shined with his glory. Amen. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river Keba, and I fell upon my face. Look at verse 4. And the glory of the Lord, the old one, came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the west. Amen. So the Spirit took me up, and he brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. And I heard him speaking unto me out of the house, and the man stood by me. Amen. Brethren, this is good news. I don't know if it's exciting to you, but it makes a whole lot of sense for me. For me, this is new. This is the breaking news. Amen. That the glory of the Lord is coming to the temple.
Amen.
This temple. Hallelujah. All I need to do is to bring my mind. Hallelujah. So is it any surprise that he says that he saw this angel ascending from the east, is it not? With the seal of the living God to seal the servants of God. Where? In the mind, in the forehead. Hallelujah. So the sealing on the forehead is the preparation, is the opening of the gate for the glory to come in. Amen. And you say, how does the glory come? From glory to glory. That's how it comes. So I believe that at the end of today, there will be some glory that will have come in. Because the entrance of the world brings glory, brings light, brings energy. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, let's read 44. Ezekiel 44. Then he brought me back the way of the gate of the outward sanctuary, which looked toward the east, and it was shut. Then said the Lord unto me, this gate shall be shut, it shall not be opened, and no man shall enter in by it, because the Lord, the God of Israel, hath entered in by it. Therefore it shall be shut. It is for the prince. The prince, he shall sit in it to eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter by the way of the porch of that gate, and shall go out by the way of the same. Amen. Then he brought me. Okay, and then he goes on and on. So, the scripture is telling us very clear, you know, how the glory comes. That is with the mind. You know, as we open our mind. You know, as we bring the mind, say, I beseech you to do what? To present yourself as a living sacrifice. I say, be ye transformed by the renewing
of the mind.
Of the mind. Transform is change. Moses was on the mountain, and God began to speak physical words to him. He heard with his physical ears. Guess what? When you get here, what's going on? God begins to speak to the ears of your soul. Amen. Do you know that your soul has ears, has all the things on the outward that are inward? If not, how does God hear? Does God hear you? What ear does God have? Does God see you? What eye does he use? Psalm 94 says, he that created the ears, can he not hear? He that created the eyes, can he not see? Amen. Hallelujah. I say, you are created in his own image and likeness. Look at the story now of Elijah. That was the problem of Baal. Baal couldn't hear. He couldn't see. They cry, oh Baal, hear us. Oh Baal, hear us, hear us, hear us, hear us. Hallelujah. Elijah says, oh Lord God of heaven, hear me now. What happened? The fire came down.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, he said, God, in fact, in the realm of heaven, the major work you do is to hear. Because there are voices and thunderings and lightnings. Amen. So we have not been used to hearing in the spirit. And that is an affliction in the end time church. We are not hearing God. Amen. You know, we should be a people that hear God. Not outwardly, but the inwardly. Hallelujah. And if we're hearing God, then we will be walking with God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. So God doesn't want us to be a crowd people. We follow the crowd. We should follow the voice. Amen. So when he speaks, he says, I go before my army. He utters his voice before the army, isn't it? He's telling the army, this is the way to go. Amen. So there is a voice today in the temple. So if you have renewed the altar, if you have washed it, then you will begin to hear that voice within. Hallelujah. You know, it's so interesting that Paul He saw the light. He heard the voice. Is it not? Those who were around him, they saw the light. They didn't hear anything. They will not be in that crowd that see the light. They, you know, they fancy, but we're not hearing the voice. Hallelujah. Because if we hear the voice, it will bring us to a sacrifice. It will bring us to a place, you know. So let's establish that before I go on. 1 Corinthians 2, because that is a practical point. How do we connect to heaven? How do we open the gates? How do we shut the gate and open it to God? Amen. Because the devil wants to also enter by that door. Hallelujah. The devil wants to enter by that door, so we must shut out the world, shut out the devil, and then open it to God. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is very clear. Verse 9, but as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Do you see the ears and the eyes? Amen. And you will think that's the end of the story, but no. Verse 10. Amen. But God has what? Revealed them to the ears and the eyes. That's what it means to us. It is the soul. Amen. Not your leg. To your soul. Amen. So he has revealed them to us by what? His Spirit. For the Spirit does what? Searcheth all things. Yeah. The deep things of God. So do you see spiritual Fox News 24-hour channel of broadcast? A revelation of the deep things of God. Hallelujah. So there's a broadcast from the Spirit of God to your spirit and down to the realm of the soul. Amen. So the Spirit of God takes the deep things of God and reveals to your spirit, and your spirit takes those things and brings it to your own understanding.
Yes.
Amen. So Paul says, I will pray with my understanding, and I'll do what? I'll also pray by my spirit. I will sing with my understanding, and I will also do what? Sing by the Spirit.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So for long we have remained at the natural. We have caught up the heavens. We have caught up the spiritual. But God is about, it's not about the restoring it. Amen. So we'll be a people that now begin to function at the two dimensions. We are ministering at the natural, but more importantly, we are also ministering at the depth of the Spirit.
Yes.
Amen. Look at verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So he's saying that these two places, the spirit of man, the Spirit of God, is for revelation. Amen. The Spirit of God searches the things of God, and the Bible says that the Spirit of God is bearing witness with your own spirit. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is it in your Bible?
Yes.
So there is a two-way traffic. There's a two-way traffic here. As I said, there's a river. The Spirit of God is ministering, bringing life. And is that not, I thought we had a scripture in Proverbs that was saying something about it. Proverbs 20:27. I thought that's what it was saying. That the spirit of man is the lamp.
Searching on the inward parts of the soul.
Well, you can say it's the lamp of the Spirit. So the Spirit empties into your spirit, and your spirit empties into your soul. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is telling me that I can have oil running into my soul. Can be buying oil. I see the oil is running. There's a watering of the soul. There's a washing of the water by the word. So the word is washing, the oil is washing, and the blood is washing. So the three are bearing witness, preparing the realms of the soul. Amen. So he's saying that the oil from the Spirit gets to my emotion, so I can overcome depression, I can overcome rejection, I can overcome identity crisis. It comes into my mind, it can keep my mind in peace, stayed on God. Amen. It can come to my desire, and it can convert my desire. Amen. That it says, set your affection on the things above. And it can come to my will, and it can break my will, and make it submit to His will. Hallelujah. So we see a change in the realms of the soul. The oil is getting down. It's flowing down. And, you know, so I see that the soul is feeding at this table. And you can see the light. You can see the running of the oil. You know, because inside this lampstand you have a wick. The wick speaks of the soul. Your humanity. It is soaked in the oil. Can you imagine? My soul in the oil.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So as my soul is in the oil, it is every day it's imbibing the oil. Don't you understand? It's expanding. It's taking on the character of the oil. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So something is about to happen in the church. There's an excitement that's coming. Because the glory is coming back. The glory is returning. He said, to them that watch for him shall he come back a second time unto salvation. The king is coming. The glory is coming. The head is coming into the body. And that is going to activate the 42nd generation. Amen. Now, those you could call them rough rednecks. Is that what you call the rednecks?
Yeah.
You find them in Washington and Bosco. And where else do you find them? Those rednecks. In Washington, Moscow, Berlin, Paris, all those places. You find London. They don't know what we're discussing. Anyway, they say there's no hope, but there's hope. When men say there is a casting down, we say there is a lifting up. Amen. Because we are seeing that the kingdom is coming. We are seeing that the glory is coming into this temple. Hallelujah. You see, Daniel opened the windows of his chamber. How many times? 3 times. Amen. Look at the 3 times. 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah. He opened it and heaven came rushing in.
Amen.
No wonder, whatever the book Nebuchadnezzar was going in his room, heaven was reporting to him. Hallelujah. So when he said, what's the dream? He said, I'm going to tell you the dream. What's the interpretation? I'm going to tell you. Because he had a connection. There was a spirit. The spirit of the gods was revealing what he was dreaming to him. Hallelujah. So brethren, we are coming to a point where the inward man, the life of the spirit, will begin to bring to dominion, bring to subjection the natural physical mentality. You know, natural knowledge will be replaced by spiritual knowledge. Jesus knew their thoughts. He could read their thoughts. He could feel it. Because his man was in a different dimension. And that Christ, that ability is coming forth in you. Don't you understand? Immortality is in you. Omniscience is in you. It's not that you are good to know everything in the world, but you are good to know what you need to know. Amen. When you are in a situation, God will give you the word you need in that situation.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Because eternity is also in you. See, I am the resurrection and the life. All that is coming forth in us. Hallelujah. Amen. So what he's saying here, brethren, is that, you know, he says, come to me and buy of gold tried in the fire. And I serve. Amen. That will do what? That you might see. You know? Now, when we see, we receive authority to walk. Amen. Because when your eyes open, you see where you're going. Before, we couldn't walk. Because we didn't know where we were going. We didn't see the kingdom. We didn't see the glory. So that the eyes of understanding might be enlightened. That we may know the things we are beginning. How could we know? How could we walk when we didn't see? Amen. Hallelujah. So we are in that place where we are seeing. Therefore we can walk in Him and have our being in Him. A new walk. A new experience. Hallelujah. So brethren, we are looking at the practical. How to open the east gate. How to have the glory coming. And you can see, it is the sealing of the forehead. The sealing of the ministry. The sealing by the icon. That's what seals the ministry. Of course, there is a danger. In Revelation 9, it says, there were locusts. I came out of the bottomless pit. The smoke came out, isn't it? And out of the smoke came locusts. And those locusts, they look for the identity. You see, every man who did not have the seal of God on his forehead, the locusts will torment them. Amen. One of the locusts I know is called fear. Fear of death. Fear of sickness. Fear of this, fear of that, you know, and it is one of the major issues, security, you know, what is going to happen tomorrow, what will happen to me, doubt, walking in faith, the college insurance, pension, alright, those are the pillars of our natural security, isn't it? Anyway, so the Bible says, our security must be in Christ.
Amen.
Not in the economy or the social systems that were built. Amen. It says, what if kingdoms tumble down? What if storm clouds roll? Is I would fear no. Or whatever telecom. Amen. So he's saying, if I have this connection, then what if kingdoms tumble down? What if the rednecks in Washington do something and change the policy and take away your health insurance, take away all the things that you should take? You carry a placard and you march and then you march down the streets of Sterling on your way to Chicago, on your way to Washington. You got march. You march on Washington. Amen. You know what you're going to do? Amen. We march to heaven. We climb up to heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. You know. So, I think I should stop. We can go on and on, but. But one thing is sure, the game has changed. Amen. The tables have turned. You know, and God is giving to our hands the key. Amen. He's bringing a strength to us. Hallelujah. He's saying, say, leave. He told him, say, I saw you in the wilderness with no hope, and I say to you, leave. Amen. God is bringing hope to us. Say, leave.
Amen.
Stand up and walk.
Live.
Hallelujah. Live. Amen. And have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because He's giving us the access to the heavens. Don't you understand? That the Spirit of God takes the things of God, brings it to my spirit, and everything is going to be deposited in the realm of my soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when my soul changes, the body is waiting. See, all creation is waiting on tiptoe for the manifestation of the sons of God. Where? In the soul. Hallelujah. When the soul changes, the body will change.
Yeah.
Because that's the order of resurrection. Amen. You know, so there's a glory that has been locked up in our spirit. Now the dams are breaking. It's rushing down to our soul. Hallelujah. So it says there's a river flowing from the temple, isn't it? It's spreading. Every 1,000 cubits is going. It's growing. Hallelujah. And that river has come to another height. And right now we are about to swim into it. We are getting to the flow. Amen. And it says, wherever the river will flow.
Yes.
Yes. Whether it's the desire, or the emotion, or the mind, or the way, everywhere it goes to, it will bring life. It will change, it will convert the soul. See, the word of God is perfect, doing what? Converting the soul. Hallelujah. And that change is coming from the head, right from the head. You know, so Revelation 3 is an invitation for us, inviting us to repair the altar, go back, and present our soul as a living sacrifice. You know, and something you do every day. Every day we bring, you know, and every day we come to the blood. The blood is applied at the four horns, isn't it? You know. Because we are getting it to midnight. He says, look, everybody put it on the lintel. You know? So we must bring this blood into the realm of our soul. Because it's coming with energy to cleanse us and then to quicken us so we can come in, you know, to the place where that's the place of life. You know, in the Old Testament here, the priests are the ones that come here, isn't it? Here, where are the priests? The priests are the realms of your soul. The members. That is the members of your temple. That's the it says, oh my soul, praise the Lord. You know what David said? It's the soul that praises God. That's the new priesthood. Amen. So this priest must also come to a place of receiving life. And it is in this higher dimension. Hallelujah. So it says, spring up, oh well, within my soul.
Yes.
So let everything that is within me praise the Lord. Amen. You know, so I think I will stop here. I asked my brother to come, and I don't know how much time we have, just to make a few comments and then lead us in prayer. Because I believe we can rejoice. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. Oh, my people, rejoice. Hallelujah. God is leading us all. He has shown us the way. A way that we have never been before. Amen. See, there are mountains to climb. There are valleys to cross. For before us, there is an open door. Amen. Very, very. Amen.
The scripture that you were referring to was 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18.
Yes.
But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the
yes.
glory of the Lord,
amen.
Are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Like I said earlier, we come from Africa. Hallelujah. And we shout. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If the Spirit of God is in you, It's, hallelujah is the language. You will speak it in this life. You will speak it in the other life. Praise the name of the Lord. I believe, brethren, that we are beginning to cross the threshold. Praise the name of the Lord. The things that we have heard, some of us have been hearing this word for a very long time now. And but we are approaching a time in which the reality of this word will become manifest. I will tell you a story. It's a story I used to illustrate a couple of things. There was a young man in the town where I live. Now, he's not in this world, you know, outwardly as we know it. But he's a Christian, he's a pastor in a church setting. But somehow, he became quite dissatisfied with religion and the going through the motions of Christianity. He was saying there's got to be much more to this. And at a point, the Lord spoke to him and said, come, let's go on a journey. And so the Lord took him into something very peculiar. He took him into a fast, and it lasted 3 years. For 3 years he was waiting on the Lord. During that period he was taking just, I think it was yogurt and then some little fruits. Now, by the time he came out of this fast, something had happened to him. You know, he would be right now, let's just assume he'd be in Washington, and he'll call Brother Craig. Say, Brother Craig, I need to talk with you. You are with Brother Jim, Brother Chijoke, so and so in the room. Please just go to the other room, I need to talk with you. From Washington. You know, somehow the veil began to break down. And we begin to see that there is a reality to this other life. And God wants to bring us to a point when you begin to become discontent. Oh, I'm tied up, I can see. And distressed and dissatisfied with life as you know it.
Yeah.
Now, you see, the challenge of a place like America, where almost everything you need, the system provides for you, is that you become very comfortable with this arrangement. Like Abraham said, oh, that Ishmael, let's go with Ishmael. It's good enough. Let's manage it. You know, but God was planning something totally supernatural for him. I want to tell us, brethren, that we are coming near the veil. We are approaching a threshold. And if we draw near enough and put our ears to the veil, you will hear voices from the other side. Praise the name of the Lord. Voice, and it's becoming louder and louder, and it's drawing us. Now, any man at this point in time who is still content with life as you know it is not hearing this word. If you are hearing what the Spirit is saying, you know, the Bible says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Yes.
This word you are hearing, I'm hearing, is a vehicle. If you get on this vehicle, it will begin to take you to another realm, where we begin to learn that man shall not live by bread alone. It's easy for you when you can get to the hospital. You have state of the art facilities here. So some things you don't pray about. You just get into the hospital and they fix it. Now, some other places it's not like that. And you can have certain problems, and you either die or you pray. Do you understand the point? You don't have a choice. You pray. You've got to find out if this word can heal cancer. You have got to find out if this word can heal a broken bone. You've got to find out if this word... No, if you live in an environment where there is crisis, you know, every day you walk on the street, somebody jumps on you with a knife. You've got to find out if you can rebuke. Do you understand? And the man drops the gun and begins to run away. You've really got to find out if this thing is real. You have to find out, because we are about to come into a dimension of spiritual warfare.
and you must prove your weapons before now. You understand me? You must prove the power in the blood of Jesus Christ. You must prove it and know it, because that's what you are going to go into warfare with. You must prove the potency of this word. You cannot afford to live and hope on something that you are not sure that it is real. And so God must begin to bring us through certain experiences. You see, Paul was saying something. I was reading something in Acts of the Apostles. I just read it quickly. You can listen. He says, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee." Now, you must have seen something. There is a message, there is a gospel that you and I are going to declare to the Gentiles. That's what God said. Paul said that when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb. Now, that's the place of my nativity. You're an American. God is going to bring you out of that environment. Do you understand that? In your thinking, in your approach, in your viewpoint, change you into a citizen of Zion. In the way you think. Now, there is only one way that the church can become one. It is the mind of the American is brought into the mind of Christ. Mm. Praise the name of the Lord. And that's it. It's not going to come by any other means. Now, the Lord must appear to you. Each one of us must have, you know, Brother Jim read a scripture. You know, he said we are transformed into the image of what we are what now? Seeing. Yes, you must see a perfect man. It must be clearly revealed to you, because that is going to be the basis of your testimony. Praise the name of the Lord. That is going to be the basis of your ministry. You are preaching a Christ, not a Christ that you have heard, but a Christ that you have what now? You have seen.
Yes.
You must be able to tell somebody that, look, this Christ can raise a man from the dead. What is the proof? Here I am. Praise the name of the Lord. I am demonstrating the resurrection life.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. It's also, there is a revelation that must come to us. You must know this. You must know it. You don't assume that life will continue to be the way it is here in America. It will not. Praise the name of the Lord. And I think for years the Lord has been shouting. And let me tell you, brethren, I am concerned about the church. I'm concerned about the message that Brother Busi brought to Nigeria and to the US.
Yes.
I am concerned that, you know, we are so soon almost departing from that gospel.
Jesus.
I am concerned because, you know, I really wonder. You know, sometimes we are hesitant to say certain things, but let me tell you the truth. Sometimes I wonder, I said, did these people hear this word? Did we actually hear? If we heard, did we actually believe? If we believe, did we actually allow that word to bring us into an encounter that is beginning to manifest in our lives?
Yes.
I tell you, brethren, there is a reality. This brother I was talking about was in church, in his church, on a Sunday. Monday he traveled to South Africa. That same Sunday there was a lady that came to the church, and she, you know, she got home and her little baby girl died. You know, but somehow, you know, she believes God. So she carried the child back to the church looking for this young man. Now, let me say this. You see, today, the church is responding to apostles and prophets and shepherds and teachers. That's fine. For us, all that the apostle is, the prophet is, Jesus now wants to be to you personally. Praise the name of the Lord. The ministry of the apostle, the prophet, the priest, the evangelist is intended to bring you into a personal relationship with you now, with Christ.
Yes.
Now we ought to be moving into hearing him, talking with him, relating with him. Praise the name of the Lord. If the apostle has ministered and that ministry has not brought you into a personal contact, you're still looking for another apostle. Something is wrong somewhere.
Yes.
Now, but the truth is that this lady, she came back to the church weeping, and there was a little crowd with her. Now, in that crowd, there was a lady, her neighbor, who is a Jehovah's Witness. I'm sure you have them in the US here. They don't believe in miracles. They believe that the era of miracles is past. So this man said, if this thing you are saying is true, I'm going to witness with my eyes. So when they came around, and she felt so bad when she heard that this brother had gone to South Africa. But the pastor there said, okay, let me call him. So he takes the phone, he calls the man. He said, hello, sir. He said, hold it. Tell her to take her baby to the chair where I sat on Sunday. And listen, this is not a story. This is real. So they now begin to look at some of the ushers. Where did he sit on Sunday? And they kept asking until they found a seat where he sat that Sunday. Because he doesn't sit, you know, on a throne like some others. Okay. So they looked for the chair and they found it. And she dropped the baby there. And in 5 minutes, no prayer, just keep the baby there. 5 minutes, that baby is crying. Now, there was no need to preach to the Jehovah Witness. There was no need to make a long sermon. She fell on her knees there, crying, lay on the floor, and saying, surely the Lord, He is God. Yeah. Now, that's the gospel that you are being prepared to preach. Now, if that must enter your mind, and you begin to somewhere say, look, I am not content with this dimension. All we have been hearing this night is that the glory is returning to where now? To the temple. Surely, yes. Because the glory departed. You read Ezekiel chapter 10, chapter 11, you see how the glory departed.
Yes.
Yes, from the Holy of Holies came to the threshold. From the threshold, it went to Mount Olives. You remember that? From Mount Olives, it did what now? Return to the heavens. That's what happened to Jesus. Matthew 23, he rebuked and said, woe, 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 woe. He said, your house is left unto you desolate. And he left the temple. He walked out of the temple and went to Mount Olives. And his disciples came to him there and tell us about the time to come. From the mount, he returned to the heavens. Praise the name of the Lord. But the glory is returning. And I'm telling you, it's returning to you and I. And I must begin to be conscious that this message is true. And I must begin to personally seek God. Look, Lord, I want to see you. Hallelujah. You must begin to... I remember many years ago, about 1990, we had a young man. We were all young people then anyway, but he was younger than I. And he was will come to church and he will lie down, he will be crying. Oh Lord, I want to see your glory. Every day he was praying that prayer. In fact, I got irritated. I said, it's okay. But he saw the glory. That night he got home and he was sleeping. And then at a point, the light went off. You know, that happens in Nigeria. Brajim, you know. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, so the light power went off. And then he woke up. And the whole room was full of light. So he thought that power had come back. But then he noticed that this light was unusual. The place was bright, but he wasn't seeing the furniture. Mm-hmm. Do you understand the point? So he now realized that this was not regular light. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are seeing brightness, but you're not seeing the physical stuff in the room. And then he looked, and then by the door, a man was standing. And immediately he saw him, he knew that this was the Lord. And the Lord just came and touched him. And then he slept off again. Praise the name of the Lord. He came back to church, and his life was never the same again. Now that taught me a lesson. He said, blessed are they that hunger and what now? And thirst after righteousness. God will visit them. But if we continue to remain complacent and become content with church as we know it, you and I stand in danger of missing out on this visitation. Praise the name of the Lord. So I want to encourage us tonight. You know, we have heard a word. It's easy to say, oh, we've heard that before. Oh, it's something new. Oh, you know, and we relate with the word from a very natural, earthly perspective. And it does not help us in any way. Praise the name of the Lord. This word must stir up something in you. You must begin to realize that God's glory is returning to your temple. And if that is the case, then there are certain preparations that you and I need to do what? To do, to prepare for this visitation. And brethren, when that begins to happen, some excitement will come. I mean, somebody cannot hear this word and believe it and not be excited and perhaps a little afraid. I am afraid when I hear that the glory is coming, because some people, the glory came, it was not good news for them.
Yes.
Praise the name of the Lord. Yes, it was not good news. So I believe, brethren, that tonight, as we, you know, reflect on what we have heard, you have to believe that God is visiting you. I believe that the first temple was destroyed. When Ezekiel was seeing this vision, there was no temple. Praise the name of the Lord.
Yes.
There was no temple. So it just couldn't have been anything on a natural frequency. So God must begin to stir up our hearts. What is the implication of this glory? When Ananias and Sapphira met this glory, something bad happened to them. Praise the name of the Lord. But when Peter and the rest of them received the glory, something tremendous happened to them that affected and impacted the whole world. Praise the name of the Lord. God is speaking again. God is provoking some level of excitement. I need to hear this word and I go to pray. Sometimes I get disturbed at when such a word comes and then somebody starts making an announcement, you know, talking about snacks and you know, and all that. That's not how it should be. Praise the name of the Lord. Something serious comes, then somehow I must respond to it. I must really believe that God is speaking to me.
Amen.
I must believe that. If I don't, this word, you will hear it tomorrow and next week and nothing happens. We will keep living our lives relying on the security that we have known. You must believe that even if your social security collapses, God who sent raven to feed Elijah, that word is in the scripture because it's going to happen again.
Yes.
Do you understand the point? Who says food cannot fall down from heaven? It fell in the scriptures. Praise the name of the Lord. God is saying you do not have to rely upon your system. You know, I believe that, you know, when you see a Muslim, you are watching a film, you know, Home in the Sun. So, you understand? I think that's Beyond the Sun or something.
Yeah.
You know, a Muslim gets born again. It's a matter of life and what now?
Yeah.
And death. There's no joke about it. Because that's the environment in which he lives. So a lot of times you see them, they come out really deep and strong Christians after 1 year of Christianity. Because they know that if I come back to my family, my father, my mother, my brother, my sister can be the ones that will kill me.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's not joking about it. But here, it really means nothing. Praise the name of the Lord. So I believe, brethren, that God must begin to change something about our mentality, about our attitude towards the word of God, you know, and you know, the way we respond to the things that are coming to us. The Bible says they are exceeding great and precious promises. A hope that gives you. I watched somebody, a lady, jump from a building. 30 stories. She committed suicide. Something happened to her. She lost hope. Praise the name of the Lord. The word of God gives us hope.
Amen.
And I pray that, brethren, you know, this word you hear tonight will give you hope. That, you know, death is not the final end. Praise the name of the Lord. God has a hope for us. And this word is our anchor towards another realm, another life. Praise the name of the Lord. Shall we bow our heads and pray? I just feel we should talk to the Lord tonight. I don't know what you have heard. You know, I don't really want to apologize for keeping us late. Hallelujah. I do believe that it doesn't happen all the time. And sometimes we really stretch ourselves a little to get what God is giving to us. Hallelujah. Let's just talk to the Lord tonight. I don't know what you have heard. I don't know what the Lord is speaking to you. I don't know what is happening in your heart. I don't know if you have decided, oh, I believe this thing. If I believe it, you know, how do I respond to it? These are questions I need to ask God tonight. I need to tell God, what are you saying? Let the Spirit of God begin to bring this reality down to us, that might be able to touch them, might be able to connect to them in a way that changes everything. I will never be the same because I've heard you with the hearing of my ears. I have now seen you with the seeing of my eyes. And my life can never be the same again. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. We just want to bless you for the word that you are speaking to us. Father, we pray tonight that your spirit that searches the deep things of God might bring this word home to us. He said, when he is come, the spirit of the living God, he shall teach us all things. He shall lead us into all truth. And he shall take the things of Christ and minister them to us. Father, we pray tonight for a ministry, a release, a giving of the precious things of God, an impartation into our hearts of this word of life in the name of Jesus Christ. Let there be a release tonight, Lord. Let there be an impartation tonight, my God. Let the life of God, the energy that is in the word of God, begin to fill our being tonight. Begin to make a change in the name of Jesus Christ. Begin to quicken us out, my God, of our settled lives. And begin to bring us into a place where our eyes look up unto you. Our help cometh from you. Our dependence is upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray tonight that this word will break chains upon our lives. Lord, things that have bound us over the years have given brought us into a place of inertia, my God. And let the chains be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the blood of Jesus Christ begin to minister to us tonight. Lord, even this blood that bears witness, the spirit that bears witness, the word of God that bears witness, Lord, let it begin to work. Let this energy, my God, begin to raise us up from the realms of death in the name of Jesus Christ. That by the power of this word tonight, we shall stand upon our feet in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, my Father. Father, we just bless you. Lord, let our lives never be the same again. Let our gatherings never be the same again. Let our mind never be the same. Let our vision never be the same. Let our hearing never be the same again, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, our Father. We give you praise and worship. Oh, we've prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you.